This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, January 17th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at U.S. Senator Barack Obama laying the groundwork for a presidential bid, and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Most candidates for elected office in Champaign received challenges to their ballot petitions, but most of those candidates will remain on the ballot following final action yesterday by the Champaign Electoral Board. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
In all, objections were filed against 11 candidates for city office in Champaign, but the city's electoral board removed only two from the ballot: at-large city council candidate David Short and mayoral candidate Charles Mingy. Mayor Jerry Schweihart, who himself survived a petition challenge, says the minor errors found on many ballot petitions weren't enough to disqualify candidates, but he says the city should clarify its directions for candidates.
Such as how to secure your ballot. When it says saying make sure it's secure, we'll say make sure it's stapled. Or is it a primary or a consolidated election? Well, if it's a consolidated election, which it says nowhere on this form that we currently do, but that was some of the objections. Well, then simply put, it's a consolidated or a primary or election, whatever it is.
Schweihart blames a faction among local Democrats for the high number of ballot petition challenges this year in what's supposed to be a nonpartisan election. He says Republicans filed their challenges as a defense action. But Democrat Ruth Wyman, the attorney in some of the challenges, said last week that Republicans acted first. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
After months of discussion, Urbana City Council voted last night to approve a rental registration ordinance. Under the measure, landlords must register all rental properties with the city. Registration fees will allow the city to expand its periodic rental inspections to include homes and duplexes, not just apartments. Alderman Charlie Smythe says registering and inspecting rental properties helps preserve local housing stock, especially in college towns where much of that housing stock is rented.
Communities like Bloomington Normal have recognized that Normal's had it for like 30 years. Bloomington Normal is an expanding community, expanding faster than we are and doing better. So I'm not too worried about this being a negative for our community.
But opponents like Alderwoman Heather Stevenson say that tenants will end up paying higher rents to shoulder the cost of rental registration, whether it's the cost of the fees or the cost of improvements prompted by heavier inspections.
If improvements have to be made, the cost has to be taken up somewhere else. So it's going to be taken up with the tenant's rent.
Stevenson cast the only vote against the ordinance, which takes effect next month. Champaign does not have rental registration. It does not inspect rental properties on a regular basis, but at the request of tenant or owner. Barack Obama's presidential run could begin in Springfield. He's expected to make his official announcement in the city next month. Sean Crawford has more.
Obama has selected February 10th to tell the country if he'll seek the presidency, and his plan is to give his answer in Springfield, according to Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines, a fellow Democrat who was on a conference call with Obama Tuesday. Hines says Springfield is symbolic because it's where Obama began his political career, serving as a state senator.
Barack Obama, believes that, it's important to start at the very center of our state and unite the entire state of Illinois behind his candidacy, and he talked about that because he knows that home is where it all begins.
Hines says Obama chose the date as it's close to Lincoln's birthday. He also says Obama mentioned his family is supportive of him running for president. Obama is married with two young children. Hines lost a Senate primary to Obama in 2004, but he says the two remain close friends, and Hines says he'll work on the campaign if Obama chooses to run. I'm Sean Crawford.
Coming up, we'll have more on Obama pursuing a run for president later in the podcast. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels used his State of the State speech to push full-day kindergarten, outsourcing the Hoosier Lottery, and raising cigarette taxes to fund health programs. The Republican governor delivered his address to both houses of the Indiana General Assembly last night at the State House. Daniels urged Democrats and Republicans to work together to take Indiana forward. He says 2006 was a strong year for the state, in part because state government had a balanced budget after several years of deficit spending. The state is projected to take in $1.5 billion more in revenue over the next 2 years. And Daniels wants lawmakers to hold spending increases below that as they draft a new two-year budget. Democrats say they appreciate the nice things Governor Daniels said about them last night, but they're waiting to see just how well he'll work with them. The Republican governor credited Democrats for having been in the forefront on full-day kindergarten and health care coverage. Democrats control the Indiana House while the GOP controls the state Senate. Senate Democrats hoped Daniels would follow through on his pledge to work with both parties. State Senator Vi Simpson of Bloomington says Daniels hasn't been very inclusive before now, and it remains to be seen if he'll improve. Indiana's Supreme Court has stayed the execution of Norman Timberlake, who was scheduled to be put to death Friday in the 1993 slaying of an Indiana State Police trooper. The 59-year-old New Albany man was scheduled to die by chemical injection at Indiana's state prison in Michigan City in the killing of Master Trooper Michael Green along I-65 on Indianapolis's northwest side during a routine traffic stop. Yesterday, the state's parole board rejected Timberlake's appeal for clemency. Prosecutors say the judge who presided over former Governor George Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial took superlative care to make sure the proceedings were fair. A 97-page response to Ryan's appeal was filed in federal appeals court yesterday. It says that U.S. District Judge Rebecca Palmeyer worked effectively to see that Ryan got a fair trial. Ryan and longtime friend Larry Warner were convicted in April of racketeering and other offenses. The former governor was accused of steering lucrative state leases and contracts to Warner and others in exchange for rewards like vacations in Jamaica. Ryan still maintains that nothing he did was illegal. The appeal focuses heavily on the dismissal of two jurors who were found to have omitted information about their encounters with police. For the latest newscast online, go to WIOL.UIUC.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Illinois U.S. Senator Barack Obama's taken a big step toward a bid for president. Obama says he's formed an exploratory committee and that he'll announce more about his plans within a month. Ben Calhoun has more.
Yesterday, Obama posted two videos to his website.
My father was from Kenya, from Africa. That Barack means one who's blessed by God in Swahili.
One is a sort of bio with dramatic fades and clips from his speech at the Democratic National Convention. In the other video, Obama talks about running for president.
I certainly didn't expect to find myself in this position a year ago.
He talks about his plans to file paperwork and create an exploratory committee. Obama also introduces what could be campaign messages. At one point, he addresses the fact that he's been on the national stage for just 2 years. In the three-minute video, Obama takes the inexperience question and frames it as an asset.
Today, our leaders in Washington seem incapable of working together in a practical, common-sense way.
It's rare for people to announce an exploratory committee and then not run, but Obama stopped short of officially entering the race.
You know, the old Machiavellian story, a bad news should be given all at once, good news should be dribbled out.
Paul Green of Roosevelt University has been watching Obama for years and politics for decades. Green says the exploratory committee allows Obama to start on the main challenges of a prospective campaign. That means beginning to raise money. Green says to be competitive, candidates will need at least $50 million, probably much more, by the end of the year.
This makes those poker shows on television look like penny ante stuff.
Though Green says the celebrity factor, which has become a huge part of Obama's profile, makes money less of a worry.
When you become a star in People magazine, which everyone passes off as frivolous, folly, you know, blah, 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 that's the kind of name recognition and identification that simply gives you access to a whole bunch of people.
The exploratory committee also allows Obama to start tackling another challenge, to reinforce his infrastructure in key primary states like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. It's something Obama spent time doing with high-profile trips in the last few months. It's also something he did during the midterm elections when he crisscrossed the country using his newfound celebrity to raise money for Democrats.
He really can be competitive all over. You know, a Democrat hasn't been competitive in the South for a long, long time, with the possible exception of Bill Clinton, and even he didn't carry any of the Deep South states. But Barack could.
Former judge, congressman, and White House counsel Abner Mikva is a friend of Obama's. He's also one of the advisors Obama dialed up yesterday on a conference call to say he was going ahead with the exploratory committee.
And to thank them for all they've done in the past and to tell them to get ready because it's going to be a long, hard campaign.
That campaign stands to be especially long and hard, given early starts by four other Democrats, and most likely now, Obama too.
The advantages he has is that he's 45 years old, he's in excellent physical condition, and he has a passion for politics.
Still, Abner Mikva and Paul Green agree the biggest challenge for Obama is another unofficial candidate.
Only two people running in the Democratic nomination process don't need a last name. That's Barack and Hillary.
Right after Obama broke the news yesterday, the prospective matchup with Clinton created a rash of split screens all over cable.
This is her only shot at being president, and she wants it desperately.
Clinton's expected to go public with the decision soon and is already talked about as the front runner.
Right now he is, you know, on the good ship Lollipop. Everyone loves him, everyone's saying kind things, but eventually this is going to turn into a real big battle. I mean, it's not called a campaign because they're having tea. This is going to be a war.
Obama says he'll make a formal declaration February 10th. I'm Ben Calhoun.
And the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly cloudy skies today. Occasional flurries this morning with a high around 25. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of flurries again with a high of 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.